Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
In Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things," all these things, "other things will be added unto you." If you'll seek first God, the kingdom of God and his ministry, and where you're supposed to be in ministry with the people of God, God will add everything else that he knows you're supposed to have. That's what Jesus said.
Yes, sir.
Okay, the most important vital desire and cry and mindset that we should have, God desires and requires us to have the number one thing that he said has to be in your life. The most important vital cry and mindset we have to have, the number one thing for your life, not just ourselves, not just our needs, not just our healing, not just our biologicals, not just our domestics, which that's important. But for your God assigned, for God, your God assigned man of God and the ministry he's over, and those people that are there will be the biggest help to you of anybody ever. And a lot of people, they don't know that today. God requires that we put him and his assigned ministry purpose first. So remember, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. If God adds them, if it's his will, it will work. If you pick it up, it won't work. If God leads you, it works. It's fine. But if not, most of the time it won't work. So God requires that we put him and his assigned ministry first, the man of God, the people in the ministry, even before our bios, our biologicals, domestics, and family, even though that's important. They are not to be omitted or put aside. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. So God first requires in Deuteronomy 10:12, "Now hear, O Israel." Now we today are the spiritual Israel who were saved through Jesus Christ, who was a Jewish man himself. So now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does God require of us? What? What does God, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him. And people today probably don't even know how to do that. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. So what exactly does God first require? First and ultimate, what is it? What doth the Lord require of you? What does he not only desires, but he actually demands and requires it of you, whether people know it or not? What does the Lord thy God require of thee? But antecedent and consequential, but to walk and walk, move yourself and run along in all God's ways. In all God's ways. This is the Bible. All his road in the course of life he's on. And to love him. And to serve the Lord. Serve thy Lord. To work, worship, and be a servant to him with all thy heart. With all your innermost being. With all thy heart on and on and on and on. And with all thy soul. So we're spirit, soul, body. The most inner part of us is spirit. This is where, if you get saved, born again, God saves you in your spirit down here. That's why out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The baptism of the Holy Ghost will come out of here, right down here. But we have a soul. We have mind, emotions, and will that this spirit man has to work through to get out. And then we have a body that we're in. So somebody who has God, God works from the inside and goes out. People who don't have God, God has to come, first of all, to your flesh, to your body. And then he has to come to your soul, your mind, emotions, and will to ever get down into your spirit. And you have a will, and what you allow God to do, whatever you allow somebody to do is what they do. If you don't allow it, and if they're respectful, they won't do it, right? So anyway, that's what God does. So love him with all your heart, spirit, and soul, and with all thy soul, thy mind, emotions, and will, with everything that was in you. Now, how can I love God if I don't really, if I'm not really totally saved, or I don't understand? I don't know how to love him all the way. I know there was a time I didn't know how. I saw it and on, but I kind of knew how. I grew up in church, but I didn't, me personally, how do I love God? How do you do that? Well, God helps you to do that. God helps you to do that for sure. Yes, he does. So then in Deuteronomy 4:29, but if, from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. And if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul, you're going to find God. If you seek God with all your heart and soul, he's going to come to you. How many are glad that God arrested you and you came to God? Thank God for the apprehension of God. I apprehend that for which I was apprehended for. God apprehended me and arrested me at Seaboard Coastline Piggyback Ramp in my 64 Chevrolet pickup truck. Way back then, I wish I had it now. I do. And I was overcome by God. I was overcome. I didn't expect it. But my life was in such a turmoil, I needed help. And I even said one time, I told myself, only God can help me. Only God can help me. Well, only he could really help me. Because I felt like my life was just torn all to pieces. But God, he's the one that helps me. So thou shalt seek the Lord thy God. You shall worship him. You shall seek the Lord thy God. And if you do, you'll find him. You'll come to him. He actually will come to you. And he'll be enough. If you seek him, if you pursue him and like tread him. In other words, seeking God, I've learned how to seek God all the time. So I go to bed seeking God. I wake up seeking God. So I seek him with all my heart, with all my soul. And thou shalt love the God, Lord thy God with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. All my soul, all my mind, all my strength. This is the first commandment. It's the first commandment. People don't know that. God says you better love me because I'm the one that gave life from that sire and through the womb of that mother. There's no life without that. God put life inside people to produce other life. He did. God is a life-producing God. Amen. He wants to produce himself inside you. In your life. Yes, he does. So if you love him with all your heart, with all of your affection, all of your emotions, and on and on and on, thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind, thou shalt love the God. Jesus comes along and he says the same thing. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. This is the first commandment. That's what it says. This is the number one commandment. It's the chiefest commandment. It's the foremost. It's the most important. It is the first order. It's first of all. It's the chiefest commandment. It's for me to learn how to love God. But I can't love God if he didn't come inside me and help me to know how to love him. The more somebody loves you, and you know they do, the more you're able to love them. So that's the way God works, you see? So it's the first most superior commandment. And it was God's commandments. And in Luke 10:27, and Jesus answered and said, thou shalt love thy God, love thy God. Here he does this again. He keeps repeating it with all that strength, on and on and on. He goes on, he repeats it over and over and over and over and over. And there went out a great multitude after Jesus in Luke 14:25. Here he goes. And it looked back, a great multitude were following him. People following him from everywhere, all over the place. A great multitude, and they went out a great multitude with him, and he turned and said to them, any man, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. This word hate is not a hate him, but it's something that if somebody doesn't understand God, and you love God so much, they will think that you're persecuting them, that you're doing them wrong. So does God want you to hate people? No. But it's a strong word that the translators use in that. In other words, you're going to have to love your father, your mother, your husband, your wife, your children, much less than God. That's what it means. He said, I'll have no other God before me. Right? So there went out that great multitude and followed him. And he turned around and said, if any man come to me, so here they are following him. He said, I'd just like for you to know, if you're going to come to me, you're going to get to a place that where you love your father, your mother, your husband, wife, children, much less than me, even though you are to love them. That make sense to you?
Yes, sir.
So he cannot be my disciple. So likewise, Jesus said, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. In other words, I can't put a person above God. I can't put a house above God. I can't put a job above God. I can't put a car above God. I can't put anybody above God. So when he says forsake, he didn't mean you just throw them aside. But God is so much and so much, it's like he's way up here and there. But they can live with him if they'll come to him. You see? That's the way it is. Now, that brings us down to this right here. Let me show you this. Jesus speaking, the missing thing in people's lives today. Years ago, decades, tens and tens of years ago, down in the South especially, most people went to church. Even if they didn't belong to God, they go. Some of them got drunk on Saturday night, was in church on Sunday morning. Well, that's better than not coming. Do you hear me? God gave the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, for the perfecting of the saints, where he will come and help complete you. So how can you, everybody's have different callings. Not everybody's a doctor in here. Not everybody's a medical doctor. You've got to be called to be a medical doctor and trained to be a medical doctor. You can't be one. So how many of those doctors are important in our life at times? So they have that gifting and that training to do that. So you can't help people like a doctor can. Does that make sense to you? You can't. It takes a doctor. You can't get your car fixed, right, if you don't know how, without a mechanic or a body man or something. It takes a person that God lays upon them to do that, and he gifts them and gives them gifts inside that they can help people that way. So everything that somebody does to you, does for you, your car, doctor, this, childbirth, helping a child be born, all that, on and on and on. It's a blessing to you. And then what do you do in return? Listen to this. You reward them for helping you. They reward you with what they have been trained to do. And you, in turn, you pay them. See what I'm saying? It's just the way it works. It's just the way it works. Well, God will reward you for all good. He will. But he will not reward bad. He wants you to see the bad and get rid of it. But somebody says, I can't get rid of it. Oh, God helping you, you can. God will help you to get rid of it. How many of that? He'll take the wrong desires away from you. So listen to this. So he gave fivefold men. A lot of people don't even know this today. It's Bible. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, then pastors and evangelists. For the perfecting of the saints. To help raise you up in God and show you things about God and teach you things about God so you know how to live and what you should do. And so you and your children can come up the way you should be. Everybody, how are you going to have a real domestic family if they're not in church? None of us can. How can you even learn anything academically if you don't go to school coming up? See, people teach you. People, there are people who help you to learn. They help you this. They help you with that. A real man of God helps you with your life. Are you listening? A real man of God helps you with your life. Because God gives him an ability to do that. It's not psychology. No. It's God. You understand? Psychology deals, it's like a dichotomy. It deals with the body and the soul. But it doesn't deal with the spirit man. Man is spirit, soul, body. Spirit, soul, body. Do you see that?
Yes, sir.
So what does it say? Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said. Where two or three, there am I in the midst of them. And that was what he was saying. My people are to come together. And I am going to be in the midst of them. They go like, here we are. And we know that. So when we come together in God, God is in the midst of us. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He's in the midst of us. And then John 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now, the first day of the week now is Sunday. Our week runs from Sunday to Saturday. And then next Sunday starts another week. So it's the first day of the week, Sunday back then. What did they do? Look at this. Jesus talking. He's writing here. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled together. Here they are together on Sunday. You hear that? This is Bible. Here they are together on Sunday. And Jesus said, I'm going to be there in the midst of that. I'm going to do that. If you come in my name, if you come for the purpose of God. So then the same day of the evening, being the first day of the week, where the disciples were gathered together, came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. First day of the week, Sunday, and our first day of the week, Sunday, the house of God, they were assembled together in church and assembled together in God. Came Jesus. You go to the house of God, then came Jesus. He's here.
Yes, sir.
He's going to work among you. You see it? And said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were so fearful back then in that scripture because they were trying to kill the Christians back then. They didn't understand that Jesus had come to save them. So they would persecute them and all. But Jesus said, and they were there having the door shut for fear of what's going to happen to them back in those days. Some people overseas, they have to come and worship God out in the woods because they lock them up. You better thank God for the freedom over here.
Amen.
Better thank God we keep the freedom. Amen. You better. So the first day of the week, here are the disciples of the Lord. But Thomas, who was one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. He wasn't with them. He laid out his shirts that week. So he didn't come the first, right after Jesus was crucified. And so he didn't come that day. And Jesus showed up, who he needed the most. When you don't come, Jesus would show up to you maybe in a real good way at that time. So Thomas missed it, and he found out about it, and my God, he said, I better get back over there. I better get over there myself. I mean, think about them assembling together, and Jesus came and stood right before them. He came in. That's what the scripture said. He said, peace. They're after you, but I'm here for you. The devil's after your life, but I'm here to help you. You see what I'm saying? Wrong is after your life. So after 8 days again, the next first day, his disciples were within and Thomas was with them. Hallelujah. He said, I'm coming. I'll be there next time. I missed Jesus that other time. I'm not going to do that, right? So after 8 days again, his disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them. There he is again. When they're together, Jesus steps in. Hallelujah. Can't beat that, can you? Right? And when the day of Pentecost, Acts 2 and 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Jesus had been crucified, raised from the dead. He's in heaven now, at the right hand of the Father. When the day of Pentecost, he said, you go and tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So they in the upper room, they were there. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, when God comes and really shows up, they were all together in one place. Church. You hear me?
Yes.
This is not some big selling point. This is just the truth. I'm trying to help your life. What you do is what you do. I can't make you do anything, right? So when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord together, unified. And they were in one place. And the Holy Ghost comes and falls upon them, and they begin to speak with tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance and begin to prophesy about the Lord. Amen, somebody. Now, Acts 2:42. Even after that, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in breaking of bread and in fellowship. The Lord's Supper and things like that, they stayed with it. And it came to pass in Acts 16:16. As we went to prayer, here they are together. It came to pass as we went together, so and so came in there and God delivered them. Acts 20, verse 7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together. See, here it is again. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Upon the first day of the week, when disciples came together, the apostle Paul was there. He stood up and began to preach. He did. They all came together. He stood up and began to preach. And guess what he did? God was there so much he preached until midnight. And Eutychus, sitting in the window, kind of trying to get cool, he went to sleep and fell out of the window and fell down to the... Listen, everybody. He did. The apostle Paul preached and preached and preached. He kind of just fell asleep. And he fell out of the window. Read it. And fell down one floor. And the apostle Paul said, "Hey, somebody, play the music. I'll be right back." He runs down the steps and comes and he said, "Hey, you're not going to be saved." And he raised him from the dead and brought him back up in there. Jesus did through him and set him down, and he kept on preaching. Anybody hear that? How many believe that that boy Eutychus never did that again? How many believe he was so glad Jesus didn't let him die and leave? In Acts 16:16, they went to prayer. Upon the first day of the week, he preached, and it continued until midnight. And then 1 Corinthians 5:4, when you're gathered together in my spirit, in other words, he said, you come together. You come together in church. You come together in church. How do you think God works? Doctors work through hospitals and offices. God works through church. Please hear me. Mechanics and body men, they work through garages and dealerships. God works through ministry. Please hear that. Where does God work? Where can I get to God? In a real true ministry. That's where you can be helped all along and taught all along on and on and on and on. So, 1 Corinthians 7, that you come together. The Apostle Paul said, you are to come together. First of all, when you come together in the church, is what he's saying. That right there is 1 Corinthians 1:18. When you come together in the church, you come together. Then 11 and 20, when you come together before into one place. Here it is. If therefore, in 1 Corinthians 14:23, if the whole church come together in one place, if the Bible, if the whole church come together in one place, God is going to stand in the midst of you. And he's going to come to you and help you with what you need. Anybody hear that? Can I pray to God not being here? Sure, I do all the time. But here's where the greatest impact of God is in church. This is where you learn. This is where you're protected. This is where all kind of things happen and help bring your family up in this. So when you come together in church, and again he said in 1 Corinthians 11:20, you come together therefore in one place. It keeps on going. Therefore the whole church be come together into one place over and over and over. Another scripture. And Jude said, he said, but there are those who separate themselves. He said, but there, Jude 1:9, there are those who separate themselves. They don't come to the house of God. They separate from God. They're sensual. They lust for the world, want worldly things, want this. See, there are people like that. Oh, God, I thank God that God changed me from that. Right? So he said here, they be those of you who separate yourselves, being sensual, want everything, not having the Spirit, not having God. If you really have God, you will want to go to church. You'll be in the house of God. And you'll serve him every day if you even have to learn how, you see. And Hebrews 10:21. And having a high priest over the house of God, that's Jesus, let us draw near with a true heart, with full assurance of faith. Let us draw near to God with a full heart, assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, God sprinkles us. He gets that evil conscience out of us and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with water. Let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, because he is faithful that promised. In other words, you grab hold of God and you be faithful, and he will not turn loose of you. How many see what I'm saying? He won't turn loose of you. And let us consider one another to provoke one another in love and good works. Well, here I am today. I'm considering you coming and saying, this is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord said. This is what the Lord wants, you see? And then he says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling. That's what he said. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but so much the more, exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. Right?
Yes, sir.
You hear it?
Yes, sir.
In the next verse, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves in church, as a manner of some is. And he says, if you don't do that, let me tell you what the next verse says. We will sin willfully. After that, we have received the knowledge of the truth. There remains no sacrifice of sin. If we don't come, how can you belong to God and serve God if you're not in church? If you don't come to church and bring your family to church, those that come. And if they won't come, you come anyway. You hear? If they don't come, you come. I heard this lady on a Sunday night, she was going to church. Her husband said, if you go to church and step out, I'm going to kill you. If you go to church tonight, I'm going to kill you. He didn't go. She said, one of two things is about to happen. I'm either going to church or I'm going to heaven. See what I'm saying? I'm either going to church or I'm going to heaven. So if you don't gather in the house of God and regular there, you will sin willfully and come into that without you even realizing what you're doing. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, God will come and things will not happen. How much sore punishment suppose you to be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God and the blood of the new covenant with him. Jesus was crucified and gave his life for you. Surely you could give your life for him, right? You can't give him more than he can give you. It's impossible. You cannot give God more than he can give you. Well, I've seen all kinds of situations over and over and over and over and over. Where is real help? In the house of God. Anybody hear that? How many are so glad that God got hold of your life? Amen. Amen. How can I know how to even be married and have the right kind of marriage without having a man of God in church and people of God that are there for me? How do I even know how to raise children if I don't have God and a man of God and a people of the Lord there, the people of the Lord, to help me and show me out of the Bible, how do I raise my children? How will your children know what to do if they're not raised like that? They won't know what to do. It is a sequence. It's one from the other, from God through minister to the people, husband, wife, children, see? Where is real help? In the house of God. Amen, somebody?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.